Welcome to Blockchain Versus, a podcast specifically intended to dive deep into the technology that we call blockchain and how it has the massive potential to disrupt a number of different industries and literally change the face of how we do business every single day. We're also going to be bringing on some of the most influential people in the blockchain and cryptocurrency space to talk about projects that they're working on and how this technology truly has the opportunity to disrupt the world as we know it. This is Blockchain Versus. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another magical episode of the Blockchain Versus podcast. As always, joined by my co-host, Miss Christina Brujan. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. Hello, everyone. All right, we have a special treat in store for you guys. I don't know if you've heard, but Satoshi might be coming back into the limelight, and we really need to talk about this. Jeremy, give me the deets.
Yeah, so basically, it's pretty interesting what's happened. You know, there was I think there was a blog post talking about Satoshi Nakamoto is going to reveal himself or herself or whatever it is, right?
Satoshi is female,
as told by Ivy Macklemore. So basically, there's this website. It's called SatoshiNRH.com. So if you go to that, you can see everything about it. It talks about my reveal by Satoshi Nakamoto. Looks like they hired this PR firm. So Satoshi, in quotes, reached out in theory to a PR firm because he's been silenced too long. He's been trying to figure out exactly how we should approach this whole reveal thing. And
technically, like 11 years, like October 31st will be coming up on the 11 year. It's been a decade since the white paper was, or the code was released. White paper was released. Like, it's been a decade, right? If Satoshi, there's been this mystery shroud around Satoshi, which is a big deal in and of itself, but there's been several bad actors who've come out and said, I'm Satoshi, or I know Satoshi. I know everybody. I know Satoshi. Me and Satoshi, we go way back. Right. But this person might actually be Satoshi. And there's a bunch of reasons why. And Jeremy was telling me about this and I was like, holy crap. Okay, we need to do this all over again, like on the podcast. Like, everyone needs to know this.
I mean, this is the problem, right? No matter who comes out, this is my firm belief. What I'm about to tell you and talk about the reveal and talk about the specifics, we're not going to spend too much time on it.
There's a website you can follow all the details and stuff. I mean, it's out there. I mean, it's not us. We're just letting you guys know about it.
Right, right. So in my personal opinion, I don't think it matters if Satoshi ever comes out. I personally feel that even if Satoshi himself, and this is a representation of Satoshi or this person that's writing this or ghostwriting, whatever it is, the person on the back end, if it really is Satoshi and they come out and they actually do say their name and all that, I don't think anyone honestly will ever believe anybody no matter what, because what I really think it is that I don't think any of us really want to believe Satoshi is a real person, because the second we identify that Satoshi is a real person, then it kind of takes away all the mysteriousness of you know, what is blockchain and Bitcoin and you know, there's this magical savior that is a real person. And I think it makes it so real to it, like, diminishes the excitement around the space and the credibility of who that person really is, because they're not dark anymore.
I completely agree. And I think it doesn't need to be Christ-like. It doesn't need to be this like, oh, kind of situation. The fact is, it's already been proven for over a decade now that a decentralized autonomous organization or a DAO is possible. Pandora's box is already open. It doesn't matter who Satoshi is. But this person who actually could be Satoshi, I want to know who that person is. And I want to understand the story of why they did it in the way that they did it. I do think that some part of them must have been really, really smart to go, I'm going to release this out in the world, but it's not going to work if it's just me trying to like pimp it out to everybody. Like, hey, do you know this cool thing I have? This is really cool. Like, it had to work from a science level. It had to work from a math level. It had to be fundamentally accurate and decentralized in order to prove the concept. It's like the most brilliant decade long proof of concept I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And that's why I think I want it to be true, but there's so many signs that lead me to believe that this could be just another scam.
What did you hear? What is it? I mean, like what, give me the deets. Like, just, there's so much talk we can do about this, but like, who does this person say that they are? There's so many reasons why it could be legit.
Yeah, I agree. And I was just about to dive into that, which is saying, like, we'll never know. We're here to provide you the details. You can make your own determination. But what it comes down to is they start with a 3-part series, right? They released it this last Sunday, part one, and then they released part two and three all at the same time because they said they had such an epic response. They talk about, I'm Satoshi Nakamoto. Here's why I did this. He basically really talks about his father in his early childhood, about a company called BCCI, which is this bank, and this person, Aga Hassan Abedi, who founded United Bank Limited, UBL, in 1959. His father was a banker for UBL for about 27 years. And he told them about an event that happened with BCCI that changed the banking industry forever. Right? It was the world's 7th largest bank at the time. There's more than 1 million investors that were affected by the Bank of England closing down BCCI in 1991 because of money laundering, bribery, smuggling, and related scandals. So over time, more and more information got leaked. It was in a paper. He even shows the clipping of the paper of the Financial Times on July 8th of 1991, talking about the secret bank in BCCI disguised large losses. So people literally lost millions and millions and millions of dollars. And he was a witness to this because it impacted his father, and his father told him about this. So he became extremely passionate about making this right. Right. So he kind of goes through and he talks about all these banks being sleazy, how the story unfolds more and more. Then you fast forward to things like when he was in his master's program. He talks about his master's thesis and how he started putting together the groundwork of what ultimately became the Bitcoin white paper. So he starts talking about putting something together and building something for the people so that you can have your financial future in your own control.
We're talking about the concept of what if you didn't need a bank? I mean, that's really what this whole concept is about, is like, what if you could just have, you know, Alice could talk to Bob, who could talk to Charlie, who could talk to David, right? I mean, like, what if you didn't need a bank? What if the math did it for you? What if, I mean, it is scary, AI Skynet. I get it. It scares everybody. But the bottom line is, it's like hashtag science, hashtag physics, hashtag math. It's just code. It's not that complicated. But what if you didn't need banks anymore? Holy crap, that's a big concept.
Yeah, no, obviously that's a huge paradigm shift, right? And that's what he was trying to accomplish in this. And this is what it sounds like. So they talk about their master's thesis and how, you know, a lot of this was formed off of what David Chaum had put together back in, I think he found DigiCash in 1989 or something like that. Transactions were unique and anonymous and using a number of cryptographic protocols. So he used that as inspiration to say, oh, we could do something, but do something even better. So he submitted this Bitcoin paper as his thesis and basically says in a roundabout way that he submitted it and it was just too advanced for them to mark. So he ended up submitting something completely different, which was like some like basic application of internet protocols or something like that. I can't remember what it was exactly in terms of that. But because it was too advanced, it ended up not going through final dissertation.
Sorry, I have to interrupt you really quick because the part that was really funny when we talked about it was he was like, I'm going to submit this for my thesis, but it was so out there. It was so beyond the time. I mean, this was 12 plus years ago or whatever, where he's like, we could do this and completely say F you to the known world. And they were like, he's like, all right, fine. Here's some like cryptographic nonsense. All right, fine. I passed my class. Like, I'm good now. Like, cracks me up.
Yeah, basically. So, you know, it was cool to see that there's some early inspirations. It's cool to see how he goes through, BCCI, which is Bank of Credit and Commerce International, and basically how he kind of came up with the name of Bitcoin. Apparently, it was because he took the B in bank, the IT of credit, the CO of commerce, and the IN of international, and made it into something called Bitcoin. To create a new age digital bank, and to create a system having open source access.
So I do want to contest that. If I had to sit down with this person, I would be like, you know, you came up with like bit, like it's a bit, and then like coin, like it's a transactional like store of value. And then you went backwards and you're like, the B could mean this and the IT could mean this. But like, it is a great story. Right. It's a great hook.
It is. It is. And there's so much here. We're probably going to have to break this up into like 2 15-minute series in terms of going through the releases. But then he gets into like the whole Chaldean numerology, which he said he's been a huge fan of. And it goes through and talks about the power of numbers. And it says that numbers are bits of information that carry an intrinsic energy quality, and that by studying numerology, you can gain a better understanding of deeper meaning and purpose of underlying our experience.
Brock Pierce talks about that all the time. That's like an underlying theme. And I know you think it, you know, I know you think I'm weird in like the whole, like, you know, numerology, like, you know, the stars align, this, that, and the other. You think I'm weird about it, but like EOS, the whole EOS community is all about that. Brock talks about it. Like there's, you know, I don't want to get way too down on it, but like, cryptography, the early starters of cryptography, they understood it. This is like fundamental to, you know, who are the guys? Cypherpunks, right? So, I mean, this is like when they were all sitting around talking about how the world could be, and they were starting to scratch the surface of this technology that's now an industry. This is what they were talking about, is like the fundamentals of like what makes the universe work, what is right in the world. And the thing is, money should not be hoarded by the big banks. It should be peer to peer. And they started going, well, how would we do it? And like, this might be the person who released it and then said, oh, I should not be public. I'm going to give it like a decade. I'm just going to see how it works out.
All this stuff is really interesting. I mean, you're one of those people that I get excited to talk to about all this stuff because you're very passionate about it. You understand it. You have, you know, a lot of connections, obviously, to folks in the industry and talk to them and listen to them at conferences and going along the lines of what you were saying about like Brock and like the energy, numerology, all that stuff. Like it really mattered to the creator for a reason, whoever that person is, at least according to this article. And then they give a bunch of different things about how they derived certain coding and numerology from the name. And it says that I think his nickname growing up was Shaco. So then he does a calculation there. Everything arrives back to this number 24. And then he really ends, and we're going to probably end here today and then get into part 2 and 3. But he really ends with this nice overview of talking about Hal Finney and Hal Finney. Without him, he really couldn't have made Bitcoin come to life in the manner in which it did, right? He talks about Hal Finney is the guy who's the executor. He's a genius, he calls him. You know, Satoshi, at least in this, you know, part one, refers to himself as, you know, everybody realizes that I wasn't maybe the most techie person in the entire world. So he's the first to admit, like, I'm not overly techie. I'm not the person that's developing the most sophisticated code in the world, but I can do things and I can see trends and I can see things that others can't see, and I can get ahead of the times. And without Hal Finney, it wouldn't have been able to come to life and all come together in the way in which it did. So he really pays homage to Hal, to talk about the team, to talk about all the trials and tribulations they went through to make this happen, and how ultimately Hal, you know, came to an unfortunate passing through ALS. Yes. So it's really unfortunate we lost him, and, you know, he pays respect there and says rest in peace at the end. So that is part one. You know, it's, hi, I'm here. There was a reason that I created this. I'm extremely passionate about it. I based everything on things that I firmly believe around numerology. Hal Finney was the guy that really helped me make this happen. And then in the next two phases, he really gets into things like, you know, this is why I created it, more so in depth around the timing in which I created it. He talks about, you know, his 980,000 Bitcoin and why he's never moved them. And then he eventually reveals himself. So maybe Christina, tomorrow we can put together another episode and dive into those things and do the big reveal, even though it is public knowledge. You guys can go on the internet right now and find it. But really exciting just to see this, you know, if it's satire or whatever it is, and it's just somebody, you know, faking it, it's still very, very interesting. And there's a lot of people that are commenting on social media. Charlie Lee is a good example, saying Satoshi Nakamoto brought to the world an open source decentralized, trustless, censorship-resistant currency based on math and cryptography. If Satoshi wanted to reveal himself, he would sign a message with the Genesis key. Anything short of that is most likely fraudulent.
I do love that Charlie Lee set the bar that high, because I think that is what all of us math, science, data nerds need to have for proof, right? We're very proof-driven. I will also say that anyone invoking Hal Finney's name better be legit, because like our community will like eat you. Like literally, Hal Finney to me is actually the face of this industry. Hal Finney has passed. But if you look at his history, he was a remarkable human being who really wanted to make the world a better place. And if you're going to bring his name into it, you better be legit, because I won't stand for anything less. Number one. But if you're going to really make the claim, I am Satoshi, you also better be legit. So I think that it's an interesting conversation. And when you and I talked about it, I said, all right, the master debater in me says I can argue both sides, right? So if it's not Satoshi, I can see how this is the best PR play ever. If it is Satoshi, you better be legit. And the community will stand for nothing less than that. So I think just time will tell. But I love that it's happening. And when you told me it was happening, I was like, holy crap. Okay, we have to talk about this on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those topics to where it affects and impacts everybody in the industry, because it's always the unknown. I mean, you know, CNN has put together episodes where Anderson Cooper went out and he started talking to everybody and asking them about Satoshi. And it's just this mysterious thing that nobody understands. And, you know, people can speculate all they want. I know John McAfee came out and said, I know who he is and I'm sick of this.
John McAfee also said that he would eat his own dick. Okay. So come on. Okay. We got to be credible here. But point being, like, if it is Satoshi, it's awesome. If it's not Satoshi, they won't last long in this industry.
Exactly. Well, we'll go through part 2 and 3 coming up in the next episode, but hopefully this was helpful for those folks that didn't even know this was happening, and we're excited to kind of continue diving down this rabbit hole.
I think we might actually be looking at the reveal of Satoshi. I think that there really is something to if I release the code and the code works and it works autonomously without me and it's decentralized, then I proved that is my proof of concept. Okay. I've waited a decade. Holy crap. It really has value in the world now. Okay. Now I can come out. I really do think there's something here.
I guess only time will tell, but this is a good first starting point and we'll see what happens next.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing this with the world, Jeremy Bourne, because I had my jaw on the floor pretty much the second that you mentioned any of this.
No worries. All right, guys, until next time.
This has been a production of Blockchain Intelligence LLC. This podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. The thoughts and opinions of Blockchain Versus and their guests are their own and should not be construed as professional advice of any kind. Before making any investment decisions, you should always do your own research and seek help from a professional. If you would like to get in touch with the Blockchain Versus podcast, please go to www.blockchainversus.com or email us at info@blockchainversus.com.